bless this time. Lord, I pray that your word would change us, that the truth of your word would just sink in deep. And Lord, that there would be some things that we would be willing to do business with you on as a result of the truth of your word. So, Father, we give this time to you. I just pray that you'd get me out of the way. And, Lord, that your word would ring true and speak what you want to speak to each person here, Lord. Pray that that your glory would be seen clearly and your truth would be heard in hearts and minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're continuing on in our Prepare for Victory, which is the Ephesians 10 through 20. And today's message is Christ is our armor. And we're going to be looking at verses 14 and 15. And I want to just read through those right now here. As we get started, you know, last week we were talking about what does it mean? What does it mean that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of this dark world, against the spiritual forces, the enemies of God? Our struggle isn't with each other. Our struggle is with God's enemy, who is our enemy. And guys, in all honesty, is it hard to remember that in the heat of the battle? Absolutely. And yet, what we're looking at today and is about putting on some of the armor. We're going to focus on the first three today and then the next three next week. But as we put on this armor, it's how we stand strong. So let's read through the scriptures here. It says, "Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen. Amen. Guys, in battle, having the right armor is crucial. It is completely necessary. And one of the things I want us to see is how important the tenses here are. And if you have the NIV version, it's not as clear. But the ESV is what I'm using today. And it really does a great job of showing the correct tenses of having. The tenses means something accomplished already in the past. So the first three that we have are things, if you know Christ Jesus, you have these things. You have these things. And we need to make sure, if you're not sure of where you stand with Christ, you need to deal with that. If you know about God, but you don't know him intimately, you need to deal with that. Because knowing about God is not enough to have these pieces of armor on. It's about coming to a personal faith with Jesus Christ, saying, "I can't do these things in my life. I can't deal with sin in my life. Jesus, I choose you to be my God and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins, and I choose you. I follow you. You are my God." And with that, these first three pieces are true about you. Now, what can the enemy do about the truth of you having certain things? He can bring you to a place to where you're not living in that truth. You know, part of what we're going through with this series is experiencing the truth of who we are in Christ in the daily battles of life. Because it's one thing to know I'm saved. It's another thing to feel worthy, isn't it? It's one thing to know where I stand with God, and it's another thing after I've just blown it. And now somebody is reminding me that I just have blown it. And I want to defend myself. I want to make them my enemy for bringing my mistake in front of me. In the heat of the battle, it's so easy to start doing a little bit of friendly fire. Rather than the enemy. You know, one of the things I absolutely love about the story of David and Goliath is as David is finding out about Goliath, his brothers come and one of his brothers says, "What are you doing here? Did you come here to be seen?" And he's trying to start the fight with David. And David understands where the battle is. And he doesn't pick the fight with his brother. He says, I mean, he could have gone, "What do you mean am I here to be seen? I came to bring you food. I came to..." He doesn't go into the fight with his brother. He sees where the real fight is. Guys, we need to have eyes for the real battle. Our battle is not with each other. And as we're maturing and growing, one of the ways we can see maturity in our lives is, are we quick to be offended? Are we quick to take... Why did she say that? Why? What is... Did you see the way her eyes moved? We can read body language. We can read into things. Be quick to be offended. And guys, that means we're making things too much about us. It is so easy. It is so easy to be offended. It's always there. Anybody moves any step, any direction, we can choose to be offended. And maturity is saying, maybe this person's heart set is not to bring offense. Why am I seeing offense here? What's going on? God, I just pray that my heart would be right. You know, some people, there's certain people that struggle with a critical spirit. You don't, if you struggle with a critical spirit, you don't have to keep struggling with a critical spirit. Right. See, the world says, that's who I am. That's who you are. Be who you are. If that's who you are, then just crush the people around you. Just bring to, because you need to be yourself. That's a lie from the pit of hell. See, we don't have to be who we were. We don't have to bring the junk. And if you have a personality type that is more inclined to that, pray against that. Pray that, no, God, I pray for a positive. I pray for a mindset which is clear. A heart that is seeing the best in others. Guys, that's maturity. Maturity is not, you know, being like the Pharisees. We need to pray against a Pharisaical heart. We don't want hearts that say, "Oh God, thank you so much that I'm not like him." We need hearts that say, "Oh God, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. Thank you that you're perfect. Give me a love for my brother, for my sister." Guys, having the right tense here is important. It's saying... everything in the present tense is something we already have. And we'll be looking at that here. The first one is one thing I do want to say about that too also is, as we get into this, this is highly figurative language. It's painting a picture for us so we can understand the truth of what God is saying. And the armor is a symbolic description of the Lord Jesus himself, of the Lord God himself. The armor is Christ. Christ is our armor and what he is prepared to be and do in each single and every single one of us. Our new identity in Christ is our armor. We have a new identity. When you come by salvation, by faith through grace, you take on Christ Jesus. And it's not you are near him, you are in him and he is in you. And so this figurative language is, it's real easy when somebody's struggling to say, "Hey, I hope you're getting better." Or how about, "Hey, God loves you." But the question is, well, how does God love him? How is there a way out? And so You know, when people are struggling, I think so often we want to bring truth, but we don't know specifically how to bring it. And we are given this armor, and it's given to us in a specific order so that as the challenges come, we can be ready to not only have a general understanding that Christ is in us, but how to specifically deal with the attacks of the enemy. And that, guys, is very, very good news. In Romans 3:14, it says, Paul clearly declares this concept that we just read about in the other scripture. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. We're clothing ourselves. We're putting him on. We're taking him in. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, you, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're not strong in ourselves, but we're strong in his grace. Grace that is in what? Christ Jesus. That is where our armor lies. Christ is our defense. So let's break it down. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Whenever you feel discouraged, defeated, confused, depressed, when you're going through these feelings, this is the place where we start. Fasten on the belt of truth. Guys, the officers in the Roman army, they had these kind of skirts, kind of like kilts that the Scottish kilts, the Scottish people had. And so they had these skirts like that, the Roman army did. And as they were getting ready for battle, they would secure them. They'd bring them up and tuck them and secure them in the belt waist. And what it meant was they're girding their loins, as it says in the King James. They're bringing up, they're preparing for battle. So guys, this is a symbol of readiness. If you're going to go into battle, you need to be ready. Being ready means knowing who the enemy is, who it's not, and getting ready for a fight. Now, I've had a time where when I was a young man, where somebody took a really cheap shot at me. I was turning like this, and as I was turning, the fist was already coming in my face. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. And it hurt. When we're getting ready for the battle, boy, we need to know what's going on. We need to be ready. When we're about to enter battle, we need to tuck our tunic up, be ready with, what is it? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. Jesus is the truth and the key to life. Guys, all of our truth comes from God's word. Now, we've got many different cultures, don't we? One of the things I love about our church family is we're multicultural. But we don't focus on being multicultural. We focus on loving Jesus. But we just look like our community. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. That's huge. But it's this idea that sometimes with every single one of our cultures, many of us have different pieces of our culture that we hold on to above God's word. And if there is a piece of your culture that goes against God's word, the culture needs to give in, not God's word. Well, I know that the God's word says that, but in my culture, this is how we do. No, that's not how you do things anymore, because now you're in Christ Jesus. Very, very important. Colossians 2:2-4 says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mysteries of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive by fine-sounding arguments. There's a lot of fine-sounding arguments out there of why culture or this or that is more important than God's truth. But we get ready for battle when we take the truth of the Word of God, and that's our filter that everything goes through. And so now we're prepared for battle. Now we're ready to go. Bring it on, because I've got the truth of God's Word, and I'm going to filter what I hear. And guys, Remember, the lie of Satan, the one that's a big whopper, isn't very effective. The one that's the truth, just tilted just a little bit and make enough to make it not true, that's the dangerous one. It's about one that's harder to filter. So we need to bring what we understand, what we see, what we experience through the filter of the truth of God's word. Jesus is the key to life. And guys, we have an informed faith. How did Jesus show that he is truth? He showed it by what he said. He showed it by what he said. John 7:46. No one ever spoke like this man. The words, when people would hear him, he spoke as one who had authority. He said things that nobody ever said. People said, you know what? Don't commit adultery. Jesus said, if you've looked at a woman lustfully in your heart, you've committed adultery. He said, others taught about the truth that you know what? Don't murder your brother. Jesus said, you know what? If you've got anger towards another, man, you're murdering them in your heart. You're brewing it. They've become your enemy, not the enemy of God, your enemy. But now you've made another person your enemy. Guys, that is the biggest way for the enemy to come into the church. And all of us have different things that we're involved with. This is a multi-branch functioning, the family's messy, isn't it? And so everything can't be clean. Everything can't be done absolutely perfect. And different personalities work different ways. If we are offended and offended and offended, we're not going to grow, guys. We're not going to grow personally and emotionally and relationally. And we're not going to be able to reach out because they're going to say, those sharks in there? Boy, somebody bleeds and they're going after the blood? No. That's how the world acts. We are to not be like the world. Not only by what he said, but what he did. Guys, think about this. He defeated death. That's pretty significant. Defeating death. In some of my readings this week, I was reading about Napoleon with one of his commanders, and with one of his commanders, the commander was so, he bought in so much to what Napoleon was doing, and he was so on board, and he was wounded, and it was a fatal wound, and in about 2-3 hours, he was going to die. He said, bring Napoleon to see me. I want to see him. And Napoleon comes in to see one of his top commanders and comes in and he says, what do you want? And he goes, I know, I believe in what we're doing. I believe in you and I need you to fix me. Napoleon just looked at him, what? I believe in what we're doing. You're my leader. I've followed you. I need to be well. I just know in my heart that you're the man that can heal me. And Napoleon just looked at him, shook his head and walked out the door. Napoleon, he had no offense. He couldn't change death. And he knew it. And he saw this man that believed in him so much, he thought, this is the answer. And he had no answer. He didn't say a word and he just walks out. Jesus doesn't walk out. Jesus has an answer. Jesus already defeated death. Praise God. Praise God. You see, truth is reality. Truth is reality. Ephesians 6:15 says, and as shoes for your feet, and as for shoes for your shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. You want to have boots. You don't want to fight barefoot. Have you ever walked on a beach that's rocky? Get into the water, it's difficult, it's painful. Try and do battle when you're ow, ow, ow with every step. I think of the movie with Bruce Willis when he goes, what is that, Die Hard? When he goes in to fight, there's glass everywhere and he's barefoot. When I read that, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. That's where my mind's at. How do you do battle when you can't even walk? Having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, a peace in your heart that enables you to fight confidently. Think about this, guys. If you're sure about the commands of your officer, of the guy who's in charge of you, if you're sure that not only does he know what he's talking about, but you're fighting for just a just cause. Now you're empowered. Now you're empowered with truth, with justice, and you trust those over you, and here we go. Christ Jesus is our Lord. Christ Jesus is the one we follow. Here in this church, you don't follow the elders, you don't follow me. Praise God. But we have been put in authority, and so as we follow our Lord, we move forward. But the one who's in charge of this church is not the elders. It's not myself. The one who's in charge is our Lord. And as we as leadership are following him, you guys are following in that truth. Just like an army, there's a chain of command. But the Lord Jesus is at the top. A peace in your heart. Guys, what happens with peace? Now you're free to have peace in the midst of the storm of battle. Imagine playing football today and everything around you is in slow motion. Imagine the advantage you would have if, as everybody's going, I mean, the speed and the size of those guys, it's unbelievable. But imagine this, being able to be in slow motion and say, here, he's coming at me. A minute later, yeah, he's still coming at me. I get to survey, I get to see what's going on. Peace brings calmness, stillness in the midst of the storm. And now we get to see what's really going on. I'm not going by emotion. I've been offended, and now I'm going to lash out. No, we have peace. If we take up the armor, we have peace. To say, you know what? I bet I don't have to take it that way. How can I try and see, is there any possibility that this person had best interest in heart? And they work differently than I do, and maybe it's a personality thing. Man, thank you, God. Wow, not only that, maybe I'm not completely right. Maybe all of a sudden we get teachable, don't we? Maybe I've got something to learn here. Maybe both of us, now as we talk, we can both learn. And rather than it being volatile, you know, that's childlike. When a child doesn't get their way, they throw themselves down on the floor at the supermarket and say, I want candy. And they, bah! How would you feel if a 50-year-old man was with his mother? And he throws himself on the floor. We would step back and we would say, something's wrong. What if he was my size? You'd also step back and say, yeah. This could get... I mean, think about it. It's, and yet, guys, do we see how... It is funny, but it's not. Because it's us too much of the time. It's us too much in our marriages. It's us too much... at work. It's us too much dealing with friends when things don't go right. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful." Ephesians 15, the boots ready for battle. Christ is our peace. So what do we have? We have truth, don't we? We have the belt of truth. We have the boots ready for battle. I want us to be thinking, I'm going to end here because we're running out of time. But I want us to be thinking, how can we be in a place that's living and growing and where we're... God wants to do something special, and He is doing something special through us. And if we're going to continue to grow, there's going to be growing pains. And for that, if we're going to be mature and follow Christ, we need to know how to move with each other in ways that the person who's doing things differently than me is not the enemy. But as we both grow and learn and change and work together, praise God. Now we've got more brothers and sisters in Christ that we're closer to. Think about guys after the Super Bowl last year. Do you think they're closer this year? They're closer. They've been through the battle. They've been through the storm together. They've come out victorious. Now they're going into another battle. Guys, that's us. We're moving forward as Christ is moving. And He's doing an amazing thing. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You. Lord, we thank You so much that we are not going into battle unarmed. That'd be terrifying. And yet we are armed with the greatest armor. We have all the protection we need. All the arrows that are coming against us do not have to hit their mark. Every temptation that is out there is a way that You've provided for us to have victory over it. So God, we want to choose more and more that victory by being prepared with the armor. Lord, thank You that Your word is clear that some of the armor we have by relationship with You, and we just need to not forget it or believe the lie that the enemy is trying to bring with discouragement and lies. And as we'll look at next week, other things we'll need to take up, present tense. So, Father, we just pray that You'd be preparing our hearts, preparing our minds. Lord, I pray most of all we would have a godly love for each other. The kind of love that doesn't make sense to the world, because it is unworldly love. It is heavenly love. It is love that comes only by You being in us. So, Father, we want to give the things over that we haven't surrendered because of pains, because of unforgiveness, because of brokenness, things that we're holding on to. I pray that this would be a week of reflection. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here would be saying, what do I need to surrender to You, Jesus? So that the enemy doesn't have just a free shot at me. We want to be whole. And we are whole in You. So we don't want to live according to a lie. We want to live according to the truth. Amen. The truth that is so clear in Your word. Lord Jesus, bless us and make us a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.